Thank you, Tommy, for directing our singing today. Chris, for leading our devotional. David, for reading our passages of Scripture and the prayers that we've had. We appreciate all of those who participate in our service. Isn't it great to be a Christian? You can do better than that. Isn't it great to be a Christian? All right, amen. It really and truly is. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all together we said, amen. Marvelous passage of Scripture. And there are lots of other ones. The fruit of the righteous is eternal life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. Those are the kinds of things that I hope that we remember in our daily walk with God to encourage us as we strive to do his will. Well, I've been promising about coming to you, before you, and preaching to you some things in regard to spirits, angels. Can't think of a greater song than the one we had just a moment ago, knowing that we're standing in the presence of God and we know that there are angels nearby. I want to begin to just say to you that it's a great privilege always to have the opportunity to just preach from the Word of God. And I'm always humbled to know that this is such a great work that needs to be done in our world. And I think we see that today, that the preaching of the truth of God, the message of God, really needs to be heard in a lot of places. When you say the word angel, the very sound, I think, of that word just sort of thrills even the person on the street. If you were talking, I think, in a crowd and brought up a subject or said something that had to do with angels, you would get the attention of people. It's a sentimental word, actually. It's a word of endearment, a precious kind of word. And yet, paradoxically, I think there's probably more, I'm going to say, untruth that floats around here about angels and what they actually are and what they do than there really is truth about them. What I want to try to do is not try to tell you that I know everything about it. I don't. You know as well as I do that, well, the mind of God is a vast thing. And a lot of these kinds of things are the things that we are trying to bring ourselves to grips with or to come into a place where we understand them in a better way. We're trying to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? I hope that's where you are. I want to read to you from the book of Hebrews, David's passage today, which is later in the book. Chapter 9, where he read from, where Jesus is our high priest, reveals the great truth about who Jesus is. And the book of Hebrews is really all about that. I want to encourage you to read chapters 1 and 2. I would love to have the opportunity this morning to really go over it the way I would like to. But I am going to hit a couple of high spots before we actually read the passage I want us to study from, probably for a couple of sermons down the road here. But we want to take a look at what the thought of the writer here is getting to us with. And he begins in verse 1 of chapter 1 by telling us that God used to do things like this. After he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. You all can remember in your Bible classes and growing up, you've probably heard about a burning bush. Well, God spoke out of a burning bush, but he did that with an angel. I want you to go check these things out. But when God comes and is a messenger to us, he sends it by the way of his angels. He has in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. You might recall that Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, came, and when he did, he was called a forerunner or the messenger of God, who brought a message that was before Jesus, preparing them about the kingdom that was to come. That's the way God works with us. He goes on to tell us about how Jesus is the very radiance, if you will, of his glory, that is, God himself. And in verse 4, he says, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For of which of the angels did he ever say, you are my God, today I have begotten you? And the answer to that question is, he never said it. The idea is that, of course, Jesus is a person of the highest rank and authority. That is why he will say to his disciples, all authority hath been given unto me. The older version said, all power hath been given unto me. And then he tells them that that's in heaven and on earth. So go and do what? Spread the news. Go and preach the gospel. Preach it to every creature, every nation, teaching them to be taught about God. A messenger. That's who he was. And then he says, as he's going on, I'm not going to read all of this, but he says, Let all of the angels of God fall down and worship him at the end of verse 6. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire? But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. This is who Jesus has become. And then we are told, toward the end of this chapter, then he says again, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? You know, one of those things you can get your feet up on. If you don't have a recliner, you might have a lot of them. And you might put them up there and get your feet up there. And God was promising. To which of the angels would he have said this? And of course, the answer is zero. And then he says this very interesting statement, I believe. And it tells us something about what we really ought to know. And when we sing songs like we sang today, that we are in the presence of God, and we know that there are angels all around. If you're like I am, or like I have been in my past days, I pretty much thought of that as being the things that deal with where God is. But I hope that you can see that there are some things that we need to learn or recognize about the presence of the angels. He says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? In the earlier versions, it will say the heirs of this salvation. Inherit says basically that very same thing. But we are to be the ones who inherit this great salvation. So, next slide there for me, Wayne. Ministering spirits. Just what is it that ministering spirits do? And just what is it that they are? Who would those heirs of salvation be that he speaks of? Paul says this in the book of Romans, chapter 8, that the Spirit itself, or himself, testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that he may also be glorified with him. Now, Paul is telling us that we are children of God, that we are the sons of God, we are the heirs of God. We're told that Jesus is our older brother, he is our family. And the idea here, Paul is saying, that if indeed we suffer with him, that is, if we are obedient to him, and we follow after him, so that we may also then be glorified with him. What a marvelous understanding that is. Now, ministering spirits of the heirs of salvation. And who would those heirs be? Have we not just read who they are? It's us. That's you. That's me. Are they not all ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation? I don't know how many times I've been asked in my time as a preacher or a teacher, what do you think about guardian angels? You think everybody has a guardian angel? Well, I'm going to answer that. No. We don't have a guardian angel. We have a host of angels. In fact, we're going to learn from Scripture that there are so many angels, you cannot count them. And that God has said to you and to me that if we follow him, if we are truly the heirs of salvation and we're seeking him, that his ministering servants, the angels of his hosts, are here to serve you. They're here to help us. Now, there's another passage of Scripture that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I'm going to start right here and say a couple of things to you about this. And this is not going to bring up angels, but I want to read it to you, and then I want to make an application here. Paul has encouraged Timothy by saying to him, have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. Sorry, ladies. If you look that up in the Greek, you'll find out it's the ones who are not necessarily following God, but busy being busybodies, okay? So it's not necessarily the idea of godly women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things. And since it holds promise for the present life, and also for the life to come. So let's get that and understand this. You see, there's a lot of things that are said sometimes out here. But we don't want to give credence or credit to things that are simply worldly ideas. We want to take a look at the things that are produced or given to us by God, that come to us as spiritual teaching, not the kind of things that everybody who sit around talking about what it will be. The King James Version uses this word when he calls instead of the two words of worldly fables, he calls it refuse profane and old wives' tales. Now that word profane, you might recognize it in another word, profanity. It may mean, it means, or it does mean, godlessness. In fact, we're told that God loved Jacob and not Esau because he was a godless person, a profane person. In fact, the Bible even says he hated him. Hebrews 12 and verse 16 is one place you can go and take a look. There are several other passages that I'll bring up along the way. But what we're getting at here is what we want to do is do away with a few of the things that are really not so about the angels. Sometimes there's more things taught than are actually correct. So I hope that you'll listen with your ears and with your heart as we look at some of that. Angels are mentioned in 34 of the 66 books that are written. I have heard it said by others, some even preachers, that, well, angels is just, that's an Old Testament topic. Well, angels are heaven's personal delivery service. You'll find that's going to be true as we read these passages. And I'm going to assert to you that angels did not stop working at the cross. Now, you may not want to amen that, but when we get done, I hope you will amen it. Because angels are in our presence at this very moment. If we believe what the Bible teaches, wherever two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst, is a basic promise of God saying he will be with us. And did not Jesus himself promise the disciples that if they would continue in his word, they would be his disciples indeed. They would know the truth. The truth would set them free. Did he not tell them, if you will love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will come into you, and my Father will come into you, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come to you. And what I think that very often many of us have done is that in fear of being labeled as too charismatic or maybe off the beam somewhere, we don't give God the credit where credit is always due. We're not here because we got here. We're here because God brings us here. Hello? We have to be the kind of people that will learn that and learn what is found in the Scriptures to teach. Paul would say in Romans 9 and verse 13, and this is a quote about God saying, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. I never really thought about God hating anybody, but he hates sin. And Esau was a man who was profane. He was a godless man. It didn't mean that he couldn't change. He just chose not to. And because he wasn't that kind of man. So, what can we say about the angels? Is it just an Old Testament passage? I mean, a subject. Because that's where we read so much about it. Peter tells us in 2 Peter, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is given by any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. We don't believe the Old Testament because somebody wrote it down. We believe because God tells us it's the inspired message of God. We don't just believe one of these divisions of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We believe them both. And we allow both of them to help shape us and understand us so that we can be able to do what we should do. The only angels that were ever mentioned with names in the scripture are these men, Michael, the archangel, Jude 9, and Gabriel. You'll find that in Luke 1, 26 through 28. I'm saying this because so many of us like to associate this word angel with our ladies. Now, hopefully, we are all angelic. I'm just sure, Bobby, you were an angelic child. Did you know that we are all angelic children? And if we follow God, we continue to be angelic, because that's what he says. It was men that came to Abraham and Sarah and to tell them that they would have a child. You remember their response, don't you? They had a good laugh about it. Will we have a child at 90 and 100? I don't think so. Well, that was because they didn't think it was possible. And yet, we know that Isaac became their son. And he was the son of promise, who was part of what Abraham's promise was about. In fact, I'm saying this to say to you so I can give you this passage. Matthew 22, verses 29 and 30 would indicate or would suggest that angels really don't have a sex. For in the resurrection, Jesus says, they will neither marry, nor are they given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. In other words, they don't need marriage. Now, don't ask me to explain all of that. I'm not that smart yet. I said, yet, maybe something will help me understand it better later on. But in the spirit realm, it is not what we think of here. We are all the same in the spirit realm. Now, here's the problem. That is, we're not yet in the spirit realm. I know the Spirit lives in you, and we are taking on the Spirit, but I mean literally, we're not in the spirit world yet, because we are living here. Jesus said to them, "You are mistaken." They were asking him a question about a fellow who was married, and it was their custom that if he died and he had brothers, that his wife would become the wife of one of the brothers. And the brothers would raise up children by a different man and consider it to be family. And so they ask him this ridiculous question, sort of like this fellow had died, and then his brother took him on, and then that fellow died, and another one. And it went along for about 7 different husbands for this woman. And they said to Jesus, "Whose wife will she be in heaven or in the resurrection?" And Jesus said, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but they are like angels in heaven." You see, angels don't reproduce. Angels were created by God. We'll study that later in another lesson. God is who brought them into being. They're not some dead saints who have passed from this life and gone to another life. I want to read to you some more. Remember then that Jesus, of necessity, we're told that he had to be made a little lower than what, congregation? If you read Hebrews 2, you'll see that he had to be made a little lower than the angels. That means he had to become like you and me. He had to become flesh because we are lower than the angels. But you know what? That won't always be the case. Because when we are resurrected and into the spirit realm, we will be like Jesus. This is an amen, isn't it? I mean, if you're getting a hold of the principle here, this is a marvelous spiritual understanding. We won't always be like this. Remember that lesson about heaven and about we have this body that is decaying and waxing old out here. But yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Because we have God living in us. And that's what helps us. That's what encourages us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified, some were saying, 'What is man that you remember him? Or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him?' You have made him a little lower, for a little while, lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have appointed him over the works of your hands, and put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, you left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see all things subject to him." How many of you are old enough to remember what a skeleton key looks like? Huh? Do you remember what the keyhole looked like on a skeleton key? Okay. How many of you ever looked through a keyhole? Did you ever do that? Did you ever get down and look in the keyhole and try to look into the room that was beyond there? You had a keyhole view of that room. And unless you had the key, or someone who had the key let you into that room, you didn't know what the rest of the room looked like. But you did know some things that you could see through the keyhole. I'm saying that to you because, you see, that's really where we are in the human realm. That is, we're looking through a keyhole into a space that is much bigger than the keyhole can reveal. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about the spirit realm. I'm talking about what angels are, what angels can do. I'm confirming to you, I want to confirm to you, that angels are in this room and around us always because we're the children of God. I didn't say that. I didn't come up with that. It's the writer of the book of Hebrews, who we believe is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We believe that God is speaking to us, right? Who said that they are all ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Do you believe the songwriter's words when Jesus was on the cross and person was inspired to say, "He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world"? Is that cool or what? I mean, do you really grasp the power of God to direct your life? We had a class today where we sent people's brains in all kinds of directions, right, Ricky? Because he just asked the right questions about it. We all have our thoughts. But what's really interesting about this is that in the end, when we want to know the answers, when we want to know what to do, it's really a very simple thing. It's depend upon God. It's to believe what God has already said. I'm in control of everything. Don't worry about it. Yeah? And that our faith has to be the kind of faith that believes that God takes care of us. And He does that with His starry host, His heavenly host. He does it with His ministering spirits that we don't understand fully, and yet He does. But you have all had questions, and you've wondered about it, and you've asked about it, and when things worked out about it, you said, "Well, boy, wasn't that good." No, that was God. If you believe in ministering spirits. I know, I can see it in your mind. You've got all kinds of questions. Things are just whirring around for you. You wonder, what in the world has our preacher gone and done? Angels don't have halos and play harps, but they do have a tongue. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm just wanting to point out to you, I know that it's picturesque to think that mother or dad, you've heard this phrase, they got their wings today. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're going to get something way better than wings. You're going to get the spirit realm. You're not going to be an angel. God already created His angels. He doesn't need another angel. He has hosts of them already. It's what He uses to take care of the universe, and especially the heirs of salvation. They speak because they're messengers. In Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, you know what this is all about. Suddenly there appeared unto them an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and doing what? Saying. Now we've all sung it, however you want to say it. And sing it. Glory to God in the high. They didn't sing it that day. They said it. Because they are the messengers of God. One of the places. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. I just want to try to open your brain a little and say to you that it's not wrong to think about angels taking care of you, or to think about angels who have even personal feelings, angels who desire to look in to the marvelous things that are to come for mankind. You ever read that in the Scripture? I'm just trying to help you see that the ministering spirits are God's gift to us, and especially because we are the heirs of salvation, because they are His creation. They're non-material. They're incorporeal. They're without body. They're without form. They're earthly, terrestrial. They're celestial, heavenly. We don't quite understand that, do we? And yet we are of the same kind of makeup. Because not only are we terrestrial, we will soon be heavenly. Because we are God's people. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 40 says, there are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. So let me just say to you, don't be quite so, let me say, consumed with that old earthly body that you got. It's going to decay. It's going to be down at the funeral home one of these days. They'll be putting that fluid into you whether you like it or not. Either that or you're going to be burned up into ash. But one thing I'm here to tell you is that your spirit, your soul will not. And you can inherit the heaven because that is what God says. Remember this. I'll leave you with this passage for today. We're just getting warmed up. I got a lot of stuff up here. I stay here for another hour here with this. This is good stuff for you to get. But remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You leave here today with that thought in mind. You're empowered by God. The angels are watching out for you. The angels are working to get things done for you. Sometimes you have to wait on God to do it. Sometimes you have to wait on His time scale. Sometimes it isn't just when we want it or just how we thought it ought to be. How many of you ever heard that song, I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? How many of you have ever said it? Huh? Because you didn't have the whole picture of the room. You just had a keyhole that you're looking through. And you think it's the right thing. Remember, God in us. And we cannot be defeated. Amen? If you're here today and you don't have Him, you can have Him by repenting, confessing, being buried in the waters of baptism, and raised to walk in the newness of life. And then you will get really excited about what the angels can do